Hi, Kate. Hi, Pam. You're welcome. I'm just going to take a couple of moments. I just want to see if there's anything in the Facebook group. Hey, Ofra.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Anvil. How's it going?
Good. Welcome.
You.
Hi, Kim.
How are you?
Doing pretty well, thank you. How about you?
Inval, can I ask a quick question? So
Sure.
I was traveling and unable to join the last Get It Done call, and I haven't been able to listen to the recording yet. Is there a progression, or are you trying to help us stay where we are?
Is there a progression with the Get It Done days?
Yeah, like, is there something that I should go back on and listen to that one that I missed? I'm just trying to get a sense of whether I will be behind because I didn't.
No, that's a great question. And actually, I mean, I'll just take another minute. The Get It Done days are actually not posted. And I'm curious, is that something that you would like? Because Jo the concern, Joanna, so the Q&A from Monday is posted because she did a pop-up Q&A. But we also don't want to overwhelm you with information. So I'm just curious for those of you who are here, like, would you listen to a Get It Done day? For me, it would be too much. Because it's like answering questions.
Just the question, I guess, if you're trying to, because I think there's steps, right? And you're trying to move us through the steps. So I'm.
Right. Well, yes, there are steps, and I'm holding space for the steps, and creating and available to speak with you through to process verbally, to speak through any
Questions.
places where you're stuck. But I'm not doing anything with the progression of it. So, but this actually, I was thinking about, so if I were you, I would not spend my time, I would, if I, for anyone, I would focus on the Joanna's teachings, and so far we only had have the first class,
Great.
and then and focusing on your own content.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. So Welcome, everyone. Thank you, Kate, for sharing that. Welcome to our third Get It Done Day. And Lemia, you wanted to share a couple of things. So this space is 100% for you and for what you need to move forward with your curriculum. So we are here for 90 minutes. And let's take a moment to get clear on your intention for our time together today and what you'll be working on. And whatever it is that you wrote, I invite you to get even more specific. What is the very next thing that you'll be doing? What are you starting with? And then let's take another 30 seconds or so to deal with any distractions that might get in your way. So that might mean turning off notifications. It might mean closing tabs. You know best what might support you. And I'd love to see your what you'd like to work on, if you'd like to share in the chat. So I don't want to take up, I did just want to share, and I thought I had it ready. I just wanted to look over the this homework sheet. Well, I'm going to do two things. First, I'll put it in the chat. I put it in a Google document format, but you have this in your member center. But what I'm also going to do is just share my screen, and then we will get right to it. But basically, wherever you are is okay. It's perfect, and because it's exactly where you are. And I just want to go over, because we're two weeks in, the most of you, so the first thing that, if you've done the starting point and end point for your ideal client on their journey, if you figured out the start and the end, from there you'll go to the brain dump. After the brain dump, you're going to go to draft one of your framework. You're going to list all the steps, kind of the broad steps, the pillars, the topic for each of the 12 weeks, if you're doing a 12-week program, the key things you want to work through in a weekend retreat. So that first draft, and then from that first draft, then there's draft two of finding out how the steps connect and the steps discerning among the steps. And then you'll go to draft three. So under each of these drafts, there's different questions and different iterations, different layers and details that you get to. So that's the general process. If you have specific questions about what you specifically should be working on, want to be working on, that's great. That's what I'm here for. Does anyone have any general questions? All right. I'm going to create a breakout room, if I remember what we did the other day. Yes, Makita.
I would be curious to hear, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious to hear from the room if 6 weeks or 7 weeks makes a big difference in your thinking about signing up for a program or a coaching group. Does that feel like a huge difference to other people in the room? I'd be curious to hear that. I see a couple of head shakes. No, 6, 7 weeks doesn't feel, not okay. All right, because when I originally thought the plan through, it was 6 weeks, but as I laid it out, I was like, I think it needs to be 7, but 7 feels different than 6. But if that's just in my head, I'm willing to get out of my head. All right, thank you all so much. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you for that. So yeah, it's amazing what we have, like, kind of filters and ideas around. Okay, so there's a room that I opened that you are welcome to go to. I should have labeled it, but room 1 is the quiet room. Can everyone go there? Like, do you see that option? Uh-oh. Makita, I might need your help.
I don't even know how to look for it.
Yeah, if you click on breakout rooms on the bottom, it shows up as room 1.
Right on.
And Inval, you should be able to rename that. If you want to make me the co-host, I can rename it for you.
Let me see. Yeah, I'm just going to do that. So all right, so you can go to room 1 if you can. Does anyone want to go to room 1 and cannot find it?
I can't. I use Zoom on an iPad and I don't see anything to do with breakout rooms. I've only been forced into breakout rooms before.
Oh.
Does anyone have any suggestions for Kim? I do nothing Elijah with my stuff.
I think Elijah's trying to talk, but she's muted.
I'm talking to my son who's in the room, so we're good. I was just curious if we hit breakout rooms. Oh, yeah.
You can join room one.
Yeah.
There's an invitation in the room. It's just not popping up on the main screen for some reason. And that's probably something to do with advanced settings. Like,
all right. So I want to get everyone started for a moment and then we can continue with any troubleshooting and any questions. So we're going to work for 45 minutes and then we're going to take a 5-minute break and then we're going to wrap up. So I will ding you in 45 minutes and I am just going to turn on the timer so I can be present with you. Enjoy. Does anyone have any questions? I'm happy to talk through anything and everything, inner or outer.
Inval, for some reason, I couldn't change the name. So I think just leaving it at room 1 is fine.
Okay, thank you. I wonder if it's a thing.
I think it's a setting, an advanced setting thing.
Yeah, and maybe I can't do it after I make the room. Thank you for trying.
Yeah, no worries.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. How's it going?
It's a little muddled over here. So I am, I feel like I'm in a parallel experience. And so I'm going to try to make sense of this, but it's sort of the first little stumble I have in the process. So I'm currently leading a 6-month group, and I'm simultaneously putting that group through this curriculum lab. So I'm building it, and it's, I'm also trying to refine as I go. So the current people that I have in this group are people that it could be someone that's a heart-based entrepreneur, which is who my target market really, really is. It's also some people that I've worked with for years from when I was a Chinese medicine practitioner that have kind of come along with me. So it's a bit of a mixed group. And how I really want to move forward is to focus more on service-based entrepreneurs. So as I'm going through the curriculum, what I'm currently doing is going to be a little different than what I'm ideally moving into in this next iteration. So when I'm defining sort of the starting and ending places, do you think it would behoove me to work with the current group that I have, or to work for this towards this next iteration that would have a more targeted audience?
So I think definitely we had a similar question the other day on Wednesday. Because your ideal person, the person taking the journey, will be different, then I would focus on them. So it might be helpful, because I feel like if you're right, it's about finding the equilibrium that works for you between how much do I keep from what I have and refine it, and then stepping back more broadly and allowing yourself to be creative and really focusing more concretely and honing in on this service-based entrepreneur group of people.
Okay.
And I would imagine that the folks who are currently in your program, you already have an idea of their endpoint.
Yeah, so this is the other interesting piece. This whole year I've created new curriculum this whole year. And so what I'm learning from the process so far is that really I don't want to have as many beginning points as I've had this past year. So there's a certain amount of curriculum or distinctions that people really need in order to be in this 6-month group. And because it was a pilot all year, I've just said, you know, through conversations, I've found that people would fit well enough into the group to have it be valuable for them. So as I'm going along, I think what is where I'm tripping myself up is having to go back and reteach concepts that they would have gotten had they been in the whole, like in the whole process versus coming in at a midway point. And some of the concepts, it serves to keep representing to those because it's really part of the core curricula. But I find it's creating some busyness in this current group that, to me, I don't know if it's about giving myself permission to just be okay with setting aside like the first 3 calls to be structure building calls or foundation building calls, and then going more deeply into processing like the process of the journey. So
it sounds, this is really interesting. I think it's awesome that, that you're kind of like developing it as you go along. Sarah, just raise your hand so that'll be easier for me. Yeah. So I love that you've been creating it as you go along, and it sounds like there's already like lessons and things that you're learning. So it sounds like you have a lot of, not just the information that you want to teach and impart and the container you want to create, but also some more like timing, and that could be a format thing also that you're bringing in, like whether it's something that people all start at one time, or, you know, if people can come in 1 month in or 2 months in. So my suggestion for where you are now, I would step back and let yourself really play in whatever it is that you want to create now that's focused on service-based entrepreneurs, the heart-based entrepreneurs. Get clear on their beginning point and end point. And then being in that like space of messiness and really just thinking about them, so you could vision for a few minutes and then think about their end point and try as, and once you get to the brain dump, then a lot of the stuff from your program currently will come in. Mm-hmm. And then once you get to the steps, it'll be easier for you to discern. But I think it could be fun to kind of like, I just think of visually, I'm seeing kind of like shaking it out. So you can start fresh and vision for these specific folks and go from there.
Okay. Yeah, so
and
really
not worrying about like the format or I mean, it sounds like you want to do like, you know, that it's like a 6 month program and it's more about like directing it to a different group of people. The question around like whether people start at the same time or people come in, I would worry about that or address that later.
Okay. Okay. And so really letting this current group be a playground to like pilot out some of these concepts and the flow and all that, while looking at this through the lens of through Curriculum Lab, how would I change this or what would I make sure to include or refine for my ideal clients the next time this is offered?
Right. Well, I would say, I don't know if like letting the group be the playground, letting Curriculum Lab, or at least today, be a playground for the people, you know, your more nuanced ideal client.
Okay. Okay.
Without being stuck into like what you're, without being like wedded to what you've been focused on with your current group. Just to let yourself see if there's anything else that wants to come through. For sure, you'll be able to repurpose and there will be similar things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But let yourself get more expansive for the service-based entrepreneurs before you like narrow into the steps.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, Sarah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I am at this point where I am kind of can't believe it. I think that I hadn't earlier on really drafted out the hero's journey, because you know how you can be doing a job for about 3 years but never have created one of those nifty little charts. Actually, I probably have one somewhere, but so I have, what's going on for me is that I've just done our homework assignment. It doesn't help you to see it, does it? If I share a screen? No, probably not.
What's your question?
So my area
what assignment
is,
are you talking about?
I'm on the assignment called Homework Solution and Framework. I think what I did was the steps.
Okay.
And I think I'm supposed to go, but I have an issue with that I wanted to check in on, just make sure I'm at the right spot. I have kind of defined levels, and I'm on your assignment part two, draft one of your framework. So I'm just to curate these steps, but maybe my question is similar to Lisa's, although I was sort of multitasking. I coach parents with teens and young adults who are presenting with mental health, behavioral and developmental challenges. So they could be on the spectrum, or, you know, substance use or onset of bipolar, whatever. Right. So, and, the rough outline that I've created is that when they first come to the whole process, they're sort of like, they're stuck at the bottom of this mountain. Like, how are we going to get over this mountain back to recovery? Right. So that would, there's that level. Then there's like what I call the ascent. So they start going up the mountain and they get to base camp one. And that's where they're kind of going like, oh, wow, this is heavy. And you're also sort of beginning to guide them to, this is not just the kiddo's problem, you know? So they're starting to really see what they contribute. And in some of the cases, because of the population that I work with, some of the families are staying home with their kid and we're trying to get them local resources, but mm-hmm. some of them are preparing to send their kid to residential treatment. So I would say about 70% of the families I work with, their kid is in some stage of residential treatment. I'm trying to actually dial that down lower, but there's not a lot available in our local community. So anyway, the main point is, think about this thing of the mountain. You get to the summit. That's like base camp three or whatever this, or I call it the summit. There's these base camps along the way. There's preparing for the descent, which is usually preparing for the kid to come home. Or if they're already home, it's going to be something else. And then there's returning home. So with the metaphor of the mountain and like five steps. So that's the overall trajectory of this journey. Going from chaos to peace, right? And separation to reunification. But the slice that I'm taking off for my course is the parents who are, they're either going to be on the summit, about to get to the summit or preparing to come home, or they might even like, oh my gosh, their kid's coming home next month, right? So, a lot like what Lisa was saying, it's not my curriculum that they're necessarily going through yet, because I'm taking the end of the journey first. I could be offering, I coach anybody on at any part individually, but for my group, I want to do that last phase. So, but what I did just now was I described the entire journey. Because I didn't know, I didn't just describe the journey that I'm writing my curriculum around. So, but my question now is, in a weird way, if I look at it, even if you're preparing for the return home, you're still going to pass through all of those things again. It's just different. You know, you're still going to get, there will be times you're stuck. There will be times that your kid's home now. Yes, they have a lot of psychological tools and so do you, but there's going to be like a honeymoon period. There's going to be challenges because they're teenagers too, right? There's going to, some kids will relapse. They'll go to some severe drug use, blah, blah, blah. So I guess what I'm saying is in my brain, because the way my brain works, it's gotten a little complicated. I think I just almost need Sarah, why don't you do this? Because really my course is going to be, oh, you're bringing your kid home within 3 to 6 months, or maybe you just did, that's fine. We're going to start talking about how you can prepare to bring your kid home in ways that will work better. But some people will be 3 to 6 months away from bringing their kid home. Some people will be bringing their kid home the next month. And I guess maybe in a way I just need to do, I think I'm answering my own question. I think I just described the whole trajectory of my entire coaching practice. And now I need to take the smaller part and do steps within that. Is that the correct thing that I need to do? Because I just am writing a curriculum for the end. Sorry for everybody who had to listen to that.
It's all good. No, I mean, I think, and for those of us who are neurodivergent, it's really helpful to like, I mean, I'll speak for myself, to talk things out. And yeah. That's exactly one of the reasons for this space. So you're just looking at, you know, there's going to be, well, I'm like, did I put my filters on today? I'm getting a little bit too literal about the mountain.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you might be getting stuck on that too, because.
Yes. Thank you.
Because I get literal and I'm like, well, would I be going back down the mountain? What if I forgot something? And so it's, you know, because also that, like, all of these things, you know, the parents are growing and,
yes,
you know, it's going to be cyclical, but I think that it's like that actually doesn't need to get in your way. So my invitation to you is to be like, okay, like, they're at the summit, they've already done some work, they've been in this with their kids, whatever this is. And, you know, they're not just like, their kid isn't just diagnosed, they're not just, you know, finding out, you know, about concerning behavior, like, they've been in this for a while.
Right.
So that's something, you know, like, in the, you could really acknowledge, like, you know, the exhaustion that comes up with that, the dread, like, any grief.
I did that actually in the exercise, because I have to say the questions were great. Like, I was able to really look at the grief. Yes. So I'm with you.
And then also looking at, so it's, you know, I can kind of see the summit where it's like, all right, like, we've been, you know, if we call it that, this stage of anticipating, like, they're either gotten to the point where things are, let's say, like, manageable, or there's some stability and things are going well, you know, or more manageable, or like, they did this step and got their child into treatment. And then part of where they're at is like, excuse my language, but like, oh, fuck. Is this sustainable? You know, waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting for the relapse, you know, beginning to worry what's going to happen, like, to our marriage, what's going to happen to my work life, once the kid comes back, you know,
what again, if my kid starts hanging out with those other kids at the park and, you know, they've got, you know,
right, whatever story,
doing drugs, like, right.
And so, and it's like, you know, they want their kid home. They don't, maybe they don't want their kid home and they feel guilty about that. I think another thing that could be, so there's a lot of worry, there might be dread, but, you know, helping them. But I think another thing that could be really helpful here is also like empowering them around like what they do know about their kid.
I just wrote, as you were talking, I wrote, like, what have we learned? Like, if we could actually almost do a, what's our collective, what have we learned? Yeah. Cause part of what I want to do, it's going to be pretty different than Joanna's course, where she's basically acknowledged to us, she's doing a lot more content than she wants. The format of mine is going to be very similar to what it'll be, like, sort of like, slide minimalism, or, you know, like, that we're going to have a kind of a focus for each session where I will introduce something, like, either raising a topic and going a little more in depth, like acknowledging at the beginning, acknowledging the exhaustion of having gone up this mountain. And yet we still have to go down. We have to descend. But it's also going to be part support group and parent input, you know, quite a bit.
Totally. Right. Yeah. And I think that there's so much healing and normalizing that, you know, that happens in group and in groups. You know, one thing that I was just thinking about is that it's like, you know, when we're focused on that first mountain,
right,
and we go down, and it's like, that doesn't mean we don't climb any other mountains, you know, but maybe we pack lighter,
right?
You know, maybe we, you know,
mm-hmm.
hire someone to carry our packs, which I have done. And, you know, maybe I choose, like, I don't know, I get better shoes.
Yeah.
Maybe I go during and in a different season. So, like, there's variables.
Timing.
So, and I don't think, so if you're focusing on parents at this point of inviting their kids or anticipating their kids coming home, I don't know you know, there might be some kind of like a review of skills from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'll have like a skills checklist. So that was one thing I was wondering in the design. What I'm starting to notice with even the way this course is designed and other courses I'm taking is, because when you have people who are at different stages, you might have, okay, so that like a main component of this bringing a child home is to have a home agreement, right? Excuse me. Pardon me. Some people will not even have started it. Most people, some people will have started it. And when I say start it, they're working with a therapist, usually in a program. But what happens is that the therapists in those programs, they usually give you this like behavioral chart. It's like, make sure your kid does this, 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 and this to earn that privilege of coming home. But what we're trying to do is actually take something. Sure, there's expectations, but we want to make it relational, right? But everybody in the group will be at different stages of their thinking about this home agreement, right? If you're not bringing your kid home for 6 months, you're not going to start writing your home agreement. You might benefit from thinking about it. But so what I think I might have to do in the course is have like one or two lessons on it or modules, but then have more pop-up get it done days. So if somebody wants to work on it, they can come. But if they don't, they're not ready, they don't. So that I'm trying to also address people being at different stages.
Totally. And I think that if it's, I don't want to minimize it, but if it's just around the home agreement, mm-hmm. you know, it's not, I feel like that's a, you know, dynamic, evolving,
right,
you know, document anyway.
Right.
And, you know, so it might help like to kind of start with it in the subconscious. And then I don't see that as being like, because they're not starting in a different place. They're just, it's just, it's like they're anticipating it, but also like it might be, I don't want you to niche too narrow, but this is kind of like beyond the scope. Like, so you might want to say, you know, if you're 6 months out or less.
Yeah.
You know, but there's people who are, you know, who have their kids at home.
Right.
Because I feel like if it's just for
exactly. parents
whose kids are coming back, that might be too narrow.
Okay. Thank you. Coming back. Yeah. No, I've sort of, I usually, when I run an ad, it'll say, are you bringing your child home the next, you know, 6 months, or has your child recently returned home?
Yeah.
But maybe it doesn't need to say, maybe it doesn't need, yeah, you're right. Maybe it doesn't even need to be recently or already home. Yeah, I see what you mean, because actually a lot of these things that we would be going over, like we're exhausted. Yes. We need to kind of, what's a helpful mindset to be in for this journey? And what have we learned? How do you prepare yourself? And it doesn't matter, like, even if your kid's stuck in their room video gaming, because they're home, and they haven't done a lot of treatment, you could still benefit from the discussion. So maybe what you're saying is don't niche or do niche.
I mean, I don't want you to niche like too far, okay. but mainly I don't see, but I also don't know what this home agreement is. Yeah.
Like, what time do you get up? If you don't have one, basically sure. The truth is a teenager might probably would come home, get up at 1 p.m., unless they're motivated to go to school, some of them are, but not contribute with chores, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of about
that. I mean, it's basically a contract, but part of it is like a container, like to be allowed to be at home.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not saying it's not important at all,
right.
But in my mind, there's so much about this that's like inner work for the parents that you can right. support them on. About how they want to show up, about, you know, how the kid might play the parents off each other.
Right.
You know, what agreements they make to themselves to,
yes,
you know, to hold like tough or, you know, clear and loving boundaries.
Right.
That, I mean, I think there's so many things for parents that are beyond, like, because they can have this agreement, but the agreement also needs to be enforced and there need to be consequences or.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's funny. I've already been running a workshop with two therapists for years, and we keep moving the pieces like around. And whenever we've put the consequences and the home agreement at the end of the day, because we're trying to really address the deeper work, they used to get mad and say, because on some level, yes, you're still talking about deep work, but when somebody has like a kid that's really going to return in 2 to 3 months, it's like, you almost have to take the home agreement, do it early and use it as a, because they want it. They're kind of scared and frantic. It's like a teacher kind of wanting to have a lesson. They want it, but so you should probably bring it in early, but as you're doing it, you're at the same time, you're actually addressing some deeper issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. And different issues will come up at different stages of the process.
Right.
So, I'm going to take the next person.
Okay.
Are you good to go for now?
Yeah, I think I do. I have enough notes from what we talked about that I'm not scared to look at part two of the assignment.
Awesome.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, Ofra.
Hi, Inbal. Hi. So I, you know, I just feel like I have to say things out loud right now. As I've been sitting here, the steps have somehow been clarifying themselves. But I think that the part where I'm still having a little bit of like haziness is about the scope of the thing, right? So I know that it's going to be a weekend, and that's what I want to offer right now. And I'm not going to get complicated beyond that. But then, of course, as I'm, you know, creating the content, and both in terms of, you know, beginnings and endings and, you know, why is it important? I feel like, okay, sometimes this is like, it's, you know, it can get pretty big, right? And it's gotta be a weekend and it's gotta be fun and it's gotta be spacious, right? Mm-hmm. So what I think would be helpful for me is, I have to look at the Google Doc, but So right now, my name for this event is Dance with Power, a weekend feast of dance and creative embodiment for midwives and scholars of cultural evolution. A little, you know, like long and complicated, but it gets all my ideas out for what I want it to be. And I'm just, you know, like there's so much that I can offer in like such a short amount of time for me, you know, and the trajectory that I want to make is like at once, it should feel fun and easeful, but it is also, you know, something that is, delicate territory, right? Like really fully embodying your power, particularly as a woman among other people whom you may not know so well, right? I think that that's where I'm kind of like, I'm in that ocean of how do I frame the scope of it, right? So that it's something that is digestible and useful without over promising or under shooting.
So when you say like how to frame the scope, do you mean like to others or for what you'd actually possible to include?
I'm not sure I understand the difference between...
Like, I wonder if, like, do you know what you want to offer over the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And you're worried that that is too much or that it won't be fun?
No, I'm not worried that that is too much. I'm worried that, the creating like the language around it will either overpromise what can really happen, you know, in a weekend, or like, or understate,
right,
what the work at hand is, right, what's actually happening.
So I feel like when I could be off, but I feel like when you're in that, like, have you thought through all of the steps? And because that to me seems more like working with the external and marketing.
Mm.
And I wonder if that's getting in the way of your creative process. Mm. And really like trusting what you want to, and like, you know, and the potential of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's common, and this came up the other day too, that it's like we're conflating the content with how we would share it, with you know, how we would invite people, and it makes us contract, or you know, and it brings in the fear either of overpromising or, you know, or not really, or understating the potential of it.
Mm-hmm.
So does that resonate at all?
Yeah. I mean, because as I'm sitting here, it's fine. Like I'm honing in and working through the steps and getting into like, you know, second drafts of more details. I'm not blocked there. Yeah, I do get blocked more because it's the work of the body, right? It's the work of being in the body, and there's plenty of, you know, so it's like, I think I get what you're saying, which is just keep working on the steps and worry about the framing of it down the line.
Right. Cause I think also that it's like, as you get into the details, you're going to get more, inspired, even more inspired and clear. On the potential, on the possibility, and then you might also, you know, decide to take things out if they don't, you know, because you're going to want to go back to like spacious and fun, and then you'll also have a much clearer picture. You don't have a clear enough picture to frame it right now anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it totally, I think, also like makes sense that it's like we're working on something that we feel really good about, and like you have so much to share and you know how amazing. And so it makes sense that the ego is like, but what if it's not that amazing? And what if you're, especially as you're like going to do this like amazing dream thing, and I want to come.
Yes. Yes. It involves a sauna.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Let's do it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks. I'll just stay in the flow of like, you know, figuring out what it is and not worry about the frame right now so much.
Yeah. Right on.
Thank you.
Barbara, I see you. I think Marianne had a question first. So let me, hey, Marianne.
Hey there. Thanks for seeing me. For some reason I couldn't raise my hand. Zoom is like banned me or something. I don't know. I've been having some success mapping out what my program is. And again, it's something that I've offered in the past. And I feel like the way I want to offer it is starting out with a VIP day, like a slice of what it is, give people really great value. And this is something I've done a little bit before, but the issue is, since I'm working with early stage business owners, it really takes 6 to 12 months minimum for me to really help them launch and do the work. It's difficult to enroll people directly into something 6 or 12 months, I've found. And so I feel like I want to position that first little slice the right way. And I'm sort of also, as I've been mapping it all out, there's so much. I mean, there's the challenge of having to be a generalist with early stage business owners because they need to learn all the things. So my process for that is really solid. Like I used to do my sales training separate, but I also don't want to get into where I have like so much of it's integrated, like program design and messaging. That's all integrated in kind of how you're building it. sales can be separated out, but some people are going to be ready to do it sooner than others. And I also don't want to get to where I have five different programs that I'm selling. I want it like super streamlined and simple. I have been thinking like a half VIP day, which I could do individually or I could do in small groups, potentially, depending on how things shake out. It could just be helping people really get clear on what their transformation is, get into the basics of program design so they can start to have a visual and like see what the business will look like. And oftentimes the way I do program design, it's not unlike some of the curriculum stuff we're doing here, you know,
when you say program design, you're helping entrepreneurs map out their own program, their methodology.
Right. So helping, and most of the time I'm working with people who are like beginners in business, or they've been in business for a while, but they're not quite getting it yet. Cause they do what we all do, start, try, it's way harder than they think. And then they're like, oh, okay, I need help.
Let me ask you, is this going to be a group program or you're working on your methodology for that you'll take people one-on-one?
I'd like to do the VIP days one-on-one and then roll them into a group. That's more, it's part continuing education because they need the curriculum, and it's part implementation, like getting their questions answered as they through the different stages, right? And also really help applying it. Like all the learning doesn't do them any good if they're not out there, because business happens in real life, right? So
what's your question?
It's partly, I think I'm wrestling with, can I do it all? I think there's a little bit of, what is the right slice to come into? I think my people often don't know what they don't know. And so sometimes it is a little bit about how to position that kind of gateway offer. That, and really what I will probably do is off, depending on where people are at, I'll offer them a deal to do the VIP day and the longer program at once.
Right.
Because what I've learned in the past is it's super unsatisfying to help people with strategy and the, you know, education pieces of business and have them do nothing with it. So I started, years ago, I built my business on VIP days, but started offering the mastermind so that people would continue the work and apply it. So I want to.
So I think what I'm hearing is, it sounds like the ideal for you, if there were like no limiting beliefs, and obviously you also have experience, is a 12-month program that kicks off, a 12-month group program with curriculum, depending on like where people are, but it would be people who are starting out and would maybe start off with a group or one-on-one VIP day with each person.
Yeah. And I'd like to, the reason I want to do the VIP days one-on-one is my time is limited due to other commitments that I have. And so I'd like to be able to kick off the mastermind with 3 to 4 people. But after that, my target is going to be one VIP day and one person rolling into the mastermind every month. If it's more than that, that's awesome. But I want to be able to spread it out calendar-wise. So I don't want like a group launch type scenario necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. So, from what I've heard you say here and in other contexts, like you're really good at the VIP and, you know, a ton of value. It sounds like it would be a great, a foundation for anyone starting. They get you one-on-one, you do something tailored with them.
Yeah.
You can speak to their specific, you know, the parameters around their work, like if they're caretaking people or if they're doing another job. So I wonder if, you know, because it's also like the people might not go at the same people. Even if people start in the same place, they're not going to go at the same rate.
Right.
So there's a part of me that's like, what if you work on, like, teach what you want to teach and how you make up the discrepancy or disparities among people is through offering one-on-one, or because even if someone's not ready to do sales calls, they can still come to that teaching class, because that's not like you listen to something once.
Right.
And it could, you know, and they could even get them started of like how they present themselves at, you know, their children's activities, at, you know, when they see their friends from college. So I think that their skills, I don't know, and also from stuff that I've been in.
Yeah. I mean, I can release the curriculum all at once. It is important that they go through at least the building process sequentially, because what I find is that a lot of people try to do things out of order, or they're trying to patch together a piecemeal, you know, online or whatever business education that really isn't either appropriate for where they're at, or they're, you know, focused on tactics and they're not tight. There's lots of reasons why.
Also, if all of the curriculum is available, then part of your VIP with each person could be like, this is what your first 3 months are going to look like. These are the videos this is the curriculum you focus on. These are the actions. And then you do another check-in.
Yeah. Like, this is your 60-day plan for seeing where you're at.
This is what I would prioritize.
It's going to have to have, prioritizing what's next. Yeah.
Yeah. You could figure out, you know, like a biweekly check-in with each person based on, you know, depending on how much, you know, like one-on-one, you know, you want to do, but there's ways for them to track themselves. And I'm sure you could come up with a great template. But it sounds like for sure. And so, but I think like the other question that you're asking is, can you do VIPs? For sure you can do VIPs as a way to bring people into your, and I think that, but that would be a separate thing, that you teach something, maybe you focus on sales, or you focus on client strategies for getting clients, or you focus on, you know, like, and it's a 1 day workshop or a half day VIP. Yeah. And from there you can sell into
how we achieve that.
Yeah. But
just how you do it or why you need it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I think that that would be different. Like, so you give a ton of value, but I feel like it would be different for what, you know, when you're working with someone who's already committed, that's when you're like, all right, you can do strategy with the other people too. That could be the great value they get.
Yeah.
And then you sell the program as support to implement.
Yeah. I'm also trying to think about the problem that my clients know they have is usually it's hard to get clients, or it's harder to get clients than I thought it was, or they just have no idea where to start and they want a simplified process. But the other part of it is there's really an arc of like personal growth and learning to be visible with marketing, for sure. And learning to stand in your value when it comes to marketing and sales. And part of what I'm looking to do, like here and through Sacred Depths, is like, I'm really good at going deep with people, but I don't always like put it front and center in my work either. And people know I'm a good strategist.
Mary, but, can I pause you? Cause I want people to take a break.
Yeah.
And I want to, I don't want to hold Barbara up.
Yeah,
I'm happy to come back.
Okay, yeah, let's circle back.
Awesome.
This was helpful,
so, though. Barbara, give me just let me just invite everyone to take a break, and I'm actually going to take a break just for 2 minutes because I want to warm up my coffee. Do you have a quick question?
Yeah, super quick. On the main page for when things are, it has Tuesday, November 28th, but Monday is the 28th. So I'm just trying to figure out, and I think it's just a recording, but I'm just like, okay, when is that recording available? So
what do you mean the main page? Do you mean in the member center?
Yeah. In the member center. Yeah.
That says when things,
right.
Okay. Let me see.
and like where do
Wait, are you talking about, which one are you talking about?
Let me just get to that page here. Okay, pre-recorded calls. Tuesday, November 28th.
Okay, I have the pre-recorded as on November 29th.
Oh, okay. That's
But okay. I'll check with the ops team about what it says in the member center.
Okay, yeah,
because it should be that actually what I'm gonna do, because I mapped this out. Well, I had to do it for myself, and maybe I'll put this in the Facebook group. It's not formatted, but
yeah, on the early, the higher up area, it says Monday, November 28th, craft your curriculum anchors. And then down lower where it says pre-recorded calls, it says Tuesday, November 28th, journaling questions and sequences.
Yeah, so this is the schedule I have. And it looks like it's, so I have it just, I think it's just off by November 28th or 29th.
Okay. At
the member center.
Okay. All right. Then yeah, let's take a break. Thanks, Kimball. Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for bringing, I'll mention it.
Okay.
Awesome. So I'll be back in 2 minutes. Please take some sort of break if you haven't already, even if it's just like shaking out your wrists. I'm just going to warm up my coffee and I'll be right back.
Okay.
I am back and happy to take questions, and we're going to work until 2:25. Marianne, did you want to continue now? Since no one else has their hand up, sorry to interrupt our flow.
That's okay. Or I guess since the opportunity's here, I've been wrestling with like how to lead more with deeper breakthrough work and the deeper kind of personal journey piece. And I'm not sure whether to lead with that. I mean, that's not really, I'm not sure how to work that in. I mean, I know how to work it into the program and deliver it on the back end, but yeah, I feel like I could do more. And it's not like I haven't talked about it when I've offered these things in the past, but I'm just...
Well, I'm curious, when you did your like beginning point and end point, did you look at like the inner and the outer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So is it more around like how you would build it into the curriculum? Or are you thinking more about like the marketing?
More about the messaging, I guess. The curriculum, like that, it's already in there pretty much. And I'll add more pieces in to it. But it might be more that I have to test like how much, I mean, I know my ideal clients know that they have challenges and that they might have, for lack of a better word, like insecurities or fears, limiting beliefs, that kind of stuff. But I haven't really landed on, I think there's also for me, I'm realizing, I think the word mindset, something I've used a lot, but I think it's so overused at this point that I feel like I want to land on a different way of speaking to that, that might resonate better or yeah. So question for me to ask.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I have so many thoughts and also, I mean, this could all be like, my own filters and experiences. I think part of it depends on who your ideal client is and how they see, you know, like whether they're at a place, right? If it's someone like me, then like, yeah, I totally know that there's like inner and outer and you can't actually do any of the outer without the inner.
Right.
And, you know, but if your person might not know that, then part of your messaging might need to be educational.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, you keep getting stuck on this and you think it's because you don't have the latest strategy, right. But actually, and I wonder if there's a piece here around like your own relationship to the value of inner stuff, mm-hmm. and your own confidence around not even leading with that, but having it be more present and really taking a stand for, yeah, because like, you know, you are the corporate, like, and, but then there's so many other aspects and it's those aspects that drive so much of your success.
Yeah. I think I just remembered what it was. And thank you, Michael. And I see you over there in a conversation that we had. I think a word that I came up with to play around was gumption, because it's something that I can kind of put in the brand. And I think the idea or the essence behind, and I'll have to test it out, right, with, you know, my audience, but it kind of seems like if you're doing things with gumption, you know, like it implies that you have a certain spring in your step and a confidence about you that feels good. And I think most of my clients, when it comes to the getting clients part, you know, most of them are experts in their own right, but they haven't learned to like market themselves independently. That kind of conveys something that they would want to experience that's different from what they currently feel. So again, I think that's something for me to test, but I'm glad you helped me remember that I kind of landed on that word as something to play with. And it's different than talking about mindset with the word mindset initially. So I don't know, but I think
I love that word. And it makes me think of the word like chutzpah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's interesting to me is that like, and I wonder if this might be true for your clients, is like that I can have like a ton of chutzpah in like a lot of areas of my life,
Yes.
But not necessarily in my coaching practice or when it comes to visibility and marketing. Yeah. So I wonder if it's about like, it's people who, you know, already have it. So it appeals to them because it's either from a younger part of themselves or, you know, before they got shut down or before they developed certain stories or before they hit a glass ceiling.
Yeah.
So part of it is around like bringing that back.
Back into the biz. Bring all the chutzpah you have and channel it right into your business and see what changes.
Exactly. And like reawakening like that gumption, finding it again. You know, we can lose it for, you know, goddess knows there's like enough reasons why we can lose it in this world. So that could be great. And then, and also it's, it does bring that like decisive confidence, spring in the step.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to be the leader, you know, you get to be the leading lady of your business basically. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the feeling of that, not just, you know, dressing up or whatever, but the feeling of confidence that you know how to bring the money in and confidence that you know how to deliver the transformation. And all those pieces are part of what's empowering. And if you have all those pieces, except for the part about how to bring the clients and the money in, it doesn't feel good at a point, right? You know, you're in startup phase for a while. And then after a while, you're like, okay, this is still not working, you know?
Yeah. And I also, I completely agree with you. And I think it's, you know, it's not like we, you know, it's like we also need to like refill our gas tank. So it's like, I could be like, okay, my gumption, and then it goes down. And then I gotta, so being in a group and being coached by you, I think also the other thing with mindset, and I've actually like told this to Joanna, and she's like, I think it's that, you know, our, like our transformation, you know, it can't just be in our minds.
Mm-mm. Right. Right. It's a being thing.
It's who. Yeah. It's an embodied thing. It's a somatic thing. So, I mean, obviously Joanna knows this. I got this from her, right. But it's like, even, you know, if she makes that clear and, you know, in her marketing, and I think that she does. And I think that it's like, you know, that's also part of your thought leadership is like, this isn't just about like knowing Excel.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And it's such a good reminder too. And maybe that's kind of one of the reasons, other than, you know, as soon as a word or something gets trendy or overused, I'm immediately like repulsed by it. That's just kind of how I am. But also like, it's a good reminder. Maybe that's part of why it was starting to feel like this isn't the right way to talk about this anymore, because you're right. It isn't just in your mind. It's like literally like feeling that spring in your step, because you are embodying your inner leader and you are, you know, you're shining your light brightly and you're not afraid who sees it, and you're getting rewarded by it, both internally, intrinsically, and externally through the, you know, the clients you get to work with, the visibility that you get, and, you know, the money you get paid. So I think all those things do come together in a different level.
And I think, right, like mindset is one of the things, because, you know, our thoughts, like, you know,
but it's just
like,
one of them.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Are related to our feelings, and like there's, you can also take them deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so great. And I think that's kind of what I wanted to be able to do. I mean, it's probably why I joined Sacred Depths, because I knew I wanted like deeper skills in like breakthroughs and getting beyond resistance. Because most of my clients have some pretty deep issues around that, like as we all do at early business journey, or maybe some of us don't, but in my experience, at least the people I've worked with, it's kind of rare. But I love being able to talk about it in this way as an inroad, right? Here's how you get to feel with your business. And once you do the inner work, that is how it feels, you know? Instead of, you know, being driven from the fear, you're driven by like, here's my come from, my cup is full.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a whole different game.
And I think also, you know, it's that, you know, I'm the first entrepreneur in my family. A lot of us don't have, you know, don't have the models for it. We have the models that are like, you know, you can only have security through an employer, you know, and these are things that, you know, are extremely, or you can only get it through, you know, by being a government employee, like if it's that much more specific. So there's all of these things that, you know, were imprinted that are, you know, in the body, not necessarily the trauma body, but all of these things that we've already been like, you know, neural pathways that we've been grooving and ideas. So
yeah,
agreed. It's going to take more than like, you know, daily affirmations.
Yeah.
They'll be a part of it.
Yeah. One of the things I do that it could be kind of interesting to kind of see how does this chutzpah gumption thing play in, or how could I bring kind of our four levels into it, is really helping them think like a marketer and think like a CEO, because it's really different. You know, some people have a business and there's different reasons people have businesses, but it's fundamentally different. If you were thinking like a CEO and you really want to build something significant, you take yourself out of the equation. You're not making decisions based on what you want. You're making them kind of for the greater good of, and the business is a separate entity that you support, right? And then thinking like a marketer, similarly, like you're making decisions differently and you're not writing messages because of what feels good to you. It has to resonate with you because it's your business, but you fundamentally have to be willing to listen to your customers and frame everything about your business the way they can receive it. And some people can't do that or aren't willing to do that. So it's a fundamental shift in like how to show up. And that's why a lot of marketing messaging fails, because, you know, people just, that little shift of think this way, put your marketer hat on. This is how we
work. Well, and I think, yeah, the other thing that it's so hard is that, like, I think in terms of boundaries, I'm not thinking in terms of how the person is experiencing it. You know, I'm starving because I, you know, ate through lunch, or like, I'm really resentful, and not saying that it's a lack of boundaries. Yeah. So anyway, it's like, yeah, how the people are themselves experiencing it.
Yeah.
And speaking to that.
It's different than you think a lot of the time. Yeah. Cool. Thank you. That's super helpful. That I feel like that was really valuable to talk that through. And
I'm so glad I'm into it. And you also got some love around it in the chat.
Oh, cool. I'll check it out.
Gumption. So
Gumption girls. Thank you.
let's take a moment and move toward wrapping up whatever you're working on. So, yay for showing up. I would love to hear any celebrations in the chat and a couple by voice about anything that you accomplished, any breakthrough that you've had, celebrating showing up, celebrating getting started, a detail that came to you. Michaelyn.
I had to remember to move you to the camera. I'm really excited about this. I have been working on this program for what feels like forever, but it's not. Marianne's been awesome as a buddy to help me with it. And it was feeling kind of blocky, kind of chunky. I had the pieces, I put them together. But it wasn't until Curriculum Lab started that I was actually looking at the transitions and the arcs within each session and filling in, like, oh, how am I going to move from this process to that process? And what's the purpose of this really? And how am I going to do that? And what journal questions am I going to ask right here? And what exercises are we going to do? And how am I going to open this session? How am I going to end it? Like really looking at each session in this like 9-week program that I'm doing. And it's so grounding for me. Like I have it. It's coming together really nicely. And it's really surprising me how I'm sticking with my wisdom and now applying like Curriculum Lab filter to that is really feeling like, even though I kind of knew what I was doing, but I kind of didn't know what I was doing. I was going on my gut and what I felt was right. Now that I'm applying the rules to it of how to do this and step one, step two, step three, it's really filling out well. So I'm just really
awesome. Great. Awesome. That's great.
Thanks.
Thank you. Kim.
I appreciated going back to a technique that Joanne had suggested that I used to use in my work when I was working in an organization in a different capacity, but and just putting things on stickies and moving them around and getting them. And because what it does, I guess, is it helps me begin to see what have I got to, where have I got too much? Where have I not got enough? What am I leaning into that isn't really useful? But just even putting it out there so I have to stare at it in a different way makes me think about it in a different way.
Yeah, totally. And yay for getting started and being a little bit messy with it. It really helps to like take it out of also the rigidity of like looking at a screen or a document or awesome. So my invitation is to get clear on your next step, whether it's it's to finish whatever the draft you were working on today, or like the where you'll start out, your bread, whatever breadcrumbs you want to leave for when you come back next time. There's class on Monday. And then our next get it done, I think, is it's on the 30th. I know I had put it in the chat, but yeah, our next get it done is, so you have two training classes, a recorded class, and then our next get it done is on November 30th. So I'm just going to repost that in the chat. And we're complete for today. I'm happy to stay on for a few minutes if you have any questions. You are so welcome and invited to share your ideas, questions, documents in the Facebook group to get Joanna's direct feedback. And, you know, we're here to support you. We still have a few solid weeks to go. So just let us know what you need and ask your questions and share your documents. Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Have an amazing weekend.
Thank you, Imbo.
You're welcome, Gaia. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck, everybody.
Bye, Sarah.
Bye.